after today. And you are listening to Law and Gospel here on KFUO. It's Open Mic Friday. You hear those voices behind us. And it's a sad day today because this is the last day that we're going to be giving thank you outs. Unless more money comes in, then we could continue.
Well, certainly. And, you know, Share-a-thon's going to be coming up in April. And so that'll be another opportunity. But anytime is an opportunity to support KFUO.
And would you please go ahead and indicate who we're thanking today?
Okay, we have Janice of Seward, Nebraska, Eunice and John of Redbud, Illinois, Dennis from Bunker Hill, Illinois, Carlton, and Celeste from Venedy, Illinois, Willard and Holly from Chatham, Illinois. Wow, thank you, Illinois. Richard and Phyllis from Lathrop, Missouri, Mildred and Albert from Farmington, Missouri, Rosalind from Cisna Park, Illinois, Barbara from Hillsboro, Jack and Lois from St. Louis, Missouri, Lorna from Olympia, Washington, Dorothy from Perryville, David from St. Louis, James and Colleen from St. Louis, Trudy, wait a minute, they gave theirs in memory of Ronald Schreckenberg, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. I may be saying that wrong, but that was a wonderful way to give a gift, as we suggested, in memory of a loved one, or maybe in memory of your parent who had listened to KFUO. As we continue to go forth with the work of KFUO, which is sharing the gospel message, and we ask you to partner with us, you know, continue to send those gifts and continue to send them in memory of someone. We are so happy to see that and so grateful for receiving those gifts. Trudy and Dennis from Nashville, Illinois, Edwin from Baldwin, Missouri, Lillian from Brighton, Illinois, Renee from Belleville, Eunice and James from Nashville, again, in memory of Gertrude Krieger, Fern from Coulterville, Illinois, in memory of Clarence Witte, and Deborah from Troy, Illinois. I know we have a Troy, Missouri, so Troy, Illinois as well. And Mary, you have some?
And I would like to thank Warren and Donna of Arnold, Missouri, Harold and Mildred of Altima, Illinois, Betty from Roseville, Minnesota, who gave in loving memory of Douglas Wolfanger, William and Linda from Chesterfield, Pauline from Peavely, Missouri, Sigrid and Brad from Castro Valley, California, Olive from Maryland Heights, Missouri, Michelle and Bart from Fenton, Missouri, Randy from Fontana, California, Art and Margaret from St. Louis, Kenneth and Mildred from Chester, Illinois, Leslie and Doris from St. Louis, Luis from St. Louis, who gave in loving memory of Reverend Elmar Knurshield?
Knurshield. Actually, he worked at KFUO at one time. Yes, he did.
I'd also like to thank Carl and Lorena from Florissant, Missouri, Lois from St. Louis, Thomas and Charlotte from Fenton, Debbie and Dale from Edwardsville, Illinois, Rebecca from St. Louis, Ruth from St. Louis, Doris from St. Peter's, Missouri. And I'd also like to remind people that if you'd like to give as a group or a church or an organization, you can also do that. For example, we would like to thank the Zion Lutheran Ladies' Aid from Hillsboro, Missouri, and also the Zion Lutheran Ladies' Aid from Litchfield, Illinois, who gave as a group in loving memory of Ruth Tomek. And we'd also like to thank the Zion Lutheran Ladies' Aid from Winona, Illinois.
So again, if you would like to send in a gift to KFUO, partner with us in sharing the gospel message. If you'd like to just make the gift or you'd like to make it in memory of someone, you can contact me. I'm Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512. Or
you can contact me, Mary Schmidt, at 314-996-1518.
and call us. You can call us and talk to us about KFUO, what you like about the radio station. Just we'd love to visit with you, and we thank you for your support, both your financial and your prayerful support. And thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
And I'm going to remind people, you do get matching funds through Thrivent. And the number is 1-800-847-4836. Do we have anybody else who get matching funds?
Now, that's not matching funds. Thrivent is you go through the special program that they have.
Good point.
And if you are a Thrivent member, then you have dollars in that, and you can tell them where you want that money to go. And KFUO is one of those ministries.
Okay. Yes. Is that the only group we have that people can go to and either matching funds or this?
That's correct. But I believe that during Share-a-thon, we will have matching funds again this year, as we have had in the past. So that will be another wonderful opportunity to even double your gift as we receive matching funds.
Yes. Louise and I are thinking of giving you $5. Anybody who gives the first $5, we'll match it. Yes.
That sounds great, Tom.
I know.
Thank you.
So this is your last time with us, and we thank those particularly who have given to KFUO, but you can continue to do so.
Absolutely. And we'll come and visit you again.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. As we move into American Sniper, as I indicated yesterday, Jesus would have no problem being a sniper. Now, a lot of people may wonder about that. Maybe you have some questions. We also talked about this week about how to apply law and gospel to those who experience evil outside of yourself. So since it's an open mic Friday, let me give out the numbers. And you don't have to talk about those topics. Any topic that is on your mind of a theological nature. In the St. Louis area, the number is 821-0850. 821-0850, and anywhere in North America, toll-free, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We got on American Sniper yesterday simply because there are individuals who use, what would Jesus do? We talked about this with, of course, the Reverend Reimnitz yesterday. And one individual, Juan Williams, said that Jesus would never be a sniper. And another individual, Michael Moore, said that Jesus would hide on top of a roof and shoot people in the back. No way. Now, why do people say those things? Because they have what I like to call a kind of American view of Jesus. If they think of Jesus, probably the best picture they think of is Jesus holding little children in his hands. So they can't imagine that Jesus would do something that would be mean, like saying to one of his disciples, "Get thee behind me, Satan," or taking a whip into the temple. It just doesn't seem like Jesus would do those things. But we need to remember that in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, as Peter Kurowski has pointed out in his book on the subject, is a number of times, almost 70 times, it's referring to none other than Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. Jesus, the angel of the Lord, who went through Egypt, killing the firstborn. Jesus, who allowed the waters of the Nile to flood back over the Egyptians and put them to death. Jesus, who allowed the Babylonians to come into Israel and take them into captivity. Nothing can really stop the wrath of God except Jesus. You and I deserve temporal and eternal punishment. And yesterday when we were talking about this, we were just making the point that if Jesus would do something, then it wouldn't be a sin. But you really can't say, what would Jesus do? And the reason we said that is because I have no idea what Jesus would do in 90% of my decisions. Because as long as you're not doing a sin, you can take any option you want. I feel sorry for those congregational members who belong to churches or groups where the pastor really micromanages the members' lives. The pastor tells them where they're to live, who they're to marry, what car they're supposed to buy, what food they're supposed to get. No, that's not the task of a pastor. If I told you that when you go to the store, you have to buy Frosted Flakes, all you need to do is ask me, where is that in the Bible? Where does the term Frosted Flakes appear? And it just doesn't. So a pastor is really circumspect as to what he can say about these things. And if it's not in the scripture, then he ought to keep his mouth quiet. That's why pastors really don't get that much involved in politics in the church. But a lot of people think there are morality as part of politics. It really isn't. The things that are contrary to the will of God is something the pastor should speak about. Why? Because God is speaking through him on those issues. I'll give out the phone numbers again, 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. Did receive an email, and I'd like to share this with you. Churches can help those struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions. You see, each of us are born, and because of our original sin, each of us have certain areas of disobedience that we enjoy. I like going over the speed limit, for example. I don't drink. In fact, we had to throw some beer away because it was too old in the refrigerator. I don't mind. When I worked landscaping, at the end of the job, I just loved going over to a certain bar that had these cold, frosted glasses, and I'd have a Michelob. So it's not that I don't drink, it's just I don't enjoy it that much. I just love these 79-cent pop bottles of Mountain Dew, for example. When they go on sale, we buy a whole bunch of them. So other people, though, seem to have same-sex attraction. They're said to be homosexuals or lesbians. Well, guess what? There is a group. It's called PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex Gays and Gays. And you can find out about them and get some help from them by going to www.pfox.org. And it's not a Lutheran organization, but it is an organization to help people out. Let's start going to the phone lines right now, and we'll begin by talking to Neil. Hi, Neil. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Tom Baker.
Hi.
I was wanting to get your view on, when learning about the Trinity of God, I've talked to some, and they say that Trinity is not in the Bible, the word Trinity. And
that's correct.
Well, how come Trinity of God is so much a part of, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit?
Well, is there a verse in the Bible that says that you shouldn't steal from a bank? And there isn't. But why would we not steal from a bank? Even though the word stealing from a bank, that phrase doesn't appear, we go to commandment number five. I'm sorry, commandment five. Commandment seven, thou shalt not steal.
Yes.
Okay, so just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean it's not true for us. The word Trinity, Neil, this is a great question, is actually made up of two words out of the Latin, and it means three in one. So the term Trinity, even though it's not in the Bible, we believe, teach, and confess that it accurately portrays that the Bible speaks about three persons, but only one God. And so they were trying to find a shortcut as to how you could explain that, and they used the word Trinity. But if you go beyond what the Bible says, then you would be in error. So the term can only be used in accurately describing the three persons. For example, at Jesus' baptism, remember, Jesus was in the water. the Holy Spirit alighted upon him in the form of a dove, and then God the Father spoke from the clouds. Remember that?
Yeah, the heavens opened, the dove descending.
Well said. Well, those are three persons.
Yeah.
But the Bible is clear. There's only one God. So tri-unity, three in one, it's a way of trying to explain the Bible verses. It's not a concept that we take by itself. But when somebody asks, what does Trinity mean? I give examples from the Bible of how you have all three persons, like at creation. The God created the world, then the Holy Spirit hovered above it, and then Jesus said, let there be light. Once more, we find three persons, one God. So don't go beyond the Bible verses to use the term.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Pastor Tom Baker.
Well, thank you very much for calling, and anybody else can call. Our numbers are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And I just love calls from people like Neil because, well, they were told this isn't in the Bible. Like I'll often say here, if I ever say something and you disagree with me, then ask me, where's it in the Bible? And if it's not found in the Bible, if I can't give you a Bible verse, then turn the station because I am a false teacher. This is really important about Lutheranism, that we get our whole view of reality from the Word of God, even though it sounds ridiculous. Do you know that when I was a pastor in the congregation, every one of my members who were believers were sinless saints? They didn't look like sinless saints. They didn't act like sinless saints. But they were sinless saints from the point of view of God. And so anytime we talk about theology, don't be talking about what we think, but instead keep in mind this is from God's point of view. And we'll go back to the phone lines and speak with Steve. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I like the way you explained Trinity. It's just a word that explains what actually is in the Bible.
Yes.
So even though that word isn't, it was just a word picked to describe what actually is in the Bible. But one verse I think that's important to mention when you're talking about that is the last couple of verses of Matthew. And Jesus' words, he says, pray to the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes. And remember, who are we to be baptized in?
Yeah, baptized in the name of the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Who are we to baptize? We're supposed to go out and baptize everybody. We're supposed to be missionaries, disciples.
Now the grammar there is really good. When Jesus says, and we're looking at verse 18 and following, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in. Now, I remember a former president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Dr. Ralph Bowman, did a sermon on that. I've never forgotten it. And he made the point that a better translation in the Greek is baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, in baptism, you are now becoming a member of the family. And notice that even though you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it doesn't say, and baptizing them into the names of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No, there's only one name, and that is God. And so this is a very good point that you're making here, that there are plenty of passages where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are mentioned individually, yet they're still one God.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and anybody else can give me a ring at 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. By the way, if I recall on Tuesday, Pastor Mark Smith is doing a Bible study, a Lifelight Bible study on the Holy Trinity. And he said, boy, there are just some really good things. Lifelight is a series of Bible studies that are excellently written. One of my former field workers, John Charlemagne, wrote one of them, and it's just really good. So we'll try and find out what day that is. He did mention it. I thought it was maybe Thursday, but we'll try and remember that. Okay, and we're going to go back to the phone lines, and let's speak with Al. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Pastor Tom?
Very good.
Good. Pastor Tom, yesterday in one of our Bible studies and such, we had the situation where two Christian parents had lost a child at the moment of birth, and the statements were made that the faith of the two parents were sufficient enough that that baby would go to heaven. So my question to you is, where would I go to show in Scripture that the faith of one cannot be applied to another, no matter how great the faith is in the moment of salvation?
Yeah, you're going to find my answer interesting here, Al, that I definitely agree. For example, if I had an unbelieving child who was a teenager and he no longer believed, my faith has no impact on whether he's going to heaven. One has to have their own faith. The point I would make isn't, I'm not looking for a passage that proves that. I'm looking for a passage that says that as long as the parents believe, the child is in heaven.
And that was my answer to the gentleman.
Yeah, there is no such passage.
You would have to show me a passage that says that.
Yes. And
there was none.
No.
And
so what comfort can we give, or is there no comfort?
Oh, sure, there's comfort. And what I told the gentleman was the comfort of this is God's grace. I said, you know, we don't know for a fact what happens to babies because we don't know them. But what we fall back on is the love and grace of God to have salvation for all those that are called and such, and only He knows that, and we have no real determination.
Well, let me ask you this question.
One or not.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. Is there anybody in the Bible, any child who was saved apart from baptism? Do we know anybody? What are you laughing for, Al?
Well, because I haven't called you in about 3 years, you know.
Yeah, well, no, we really appreciated that,
yeah,
too.
And, you know, but you always look to pin me down on something that's totally out of my mind.
No. I'm going to give you the hint. And as soon as I say it, leaped in the womb.
Oh, sure. Sure, and that was actually an example given, but what I told to them was that faith was not given there from the parent. It was given there by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is we have a funeral service for unbaptized children. You know what we say? We say,
No. We
are bound to the Bible, but God is not bound.
Yeah.
Now, when I first read that didn't make any sense. You mean God's not bound to the Bible? He doesn't have to agree with what He wrote? No, it's the word boundary. The boundaries of what we know about God is this little small book called the Bible. God knows a million more things than we do.
Right.
The point that we're trying to make here, therefore, is I'm going to ask you another question. How were the male children brought into the family of God in the Old Testament?
Circumcision.
Yes. How were the females brought in? And that's correct. You should be silent because there is no answer to that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know those little children were saved. How that happens, there's no promise as to how they were saved. In fact, I would say those, even the males prior to circumcision, were saved. Why? Because they're part of the family of God? They're part of the holy people? I don't know. All I am saying is something that Robert Price said. He had, I think, 10 children, and one of them died in childbirth prior to being baptized. And here's what he said, Al. Uh-huh. If I go to heaven and my child is in heaven, I'm going to be in bliss. If I go to heaven and my child is in hell, I'm going to be in bliss.
Correct.
The first one I understand, the second one I have no understanding.
And that's why we have the mind of God, which is stronger than ours.
Yes, and in fact, we're going to be talking about that this coming Monday, where it says God's ways are not understandable.
Okay.
And so the comfort I would give is that God has, clearly from the Bible, many ways of bringing children into his kingdom besides Pentecost infant baptism. There were thousands of children in the Old Testament that were saved apart from baptism. But there's no promise connecting anything to that for sure. So I have a personal opinion, and I always make clear where I'm making personal opinion. This is not a pastoral opinion, but I believe children who are aborted go to heaven. Mm-hmm. But I have no evidence for that, no Bible verse or anything. I'm just saying that on the basis of, my hope. But I do know you're going to get three surprises when you get to heaven, Al. Number one, people who you thought were going to be there aren't there. Mm-hmm. Number two, people you didn't think would make it are there. Mm-hmm. And what's the third big surprise? You're right.
I don't know.
That you're there.
Well, I was going to say that, but I thought I'd leave you to say that.
I'm not going to say that to you.
You just did.
All right. Oh, well, thank you for calling. And please wait another 3 years. Goodbye, Al. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And really, we're going to be talking about something on Monday that may surprise you, that Paul says that he's willing to go outside the law in order to serve people. Does he mean he's willing to do criminal acts? We're going to be taking a look. It's part of the epistle for the coming Sunday, fifth Sunday after Epiphany. Until Monday, then, I'm Tom Baker. So thanks for listening, and thank you for contributing to KFUO. God bless.
Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.